Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
101 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Miggy. It is after hours here on The Fan. Did you miss me? First day after hours since last Tuesday night. Hopefully everybody had a very happy, very healthy, very safe, and a very enjoyable 4th of July weekend. Yours truly definitely enjoyed his time off in Ocean City, Maryland. Little bro trip, the first of a couple of them this summer. So always fun to see my friends and sort of get after it. And Ocean City is a very fun place to be. If you've never been there before, shout out to Secrets. Shout out to Fakers Island. Very fun time there. I highly recommend it if you are somebody that likes to, well, like I do, have a good time. It is certainly a great time. The weather was absolutely awesome. And yeah, a little humid, but not as crazy as I think it was up here. You know, more like low 90s, tons of sunshine. So it was a very, 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 very fun weekend. But it is great to be back here with you, the audience. I did miss all of you. I did miss talking on the radio, even though I'm able to connect, or disconnect, I should say, from the job, which I think is healthy. It is great to be back in the chair and talking to you guys because I did miss a lot of sports in those 5 days, including David Stearns and sort of the news that, which is what I've been saying for a while now, and that is David Stearns is not going anywhere. And that was stamped home last week. But it's something that wasn't a shock or surprise to me. Maybe to you. Maybe it's frustrating to you. Not frustrating to me. I don't think David Stearns should be going anywhere. I think David Stearns was brought in here to turn the Mets into a sustained winner, to build up the farm system, because when he arrived, it was in shambles. He also had players from previous regimes. And it was the idea of winning with those players, but also sort of moving on from those players and building this team by bringing in Juan Soto as the centerpiece, which doesn't mean you have to trade Francisco Lindor, but creating a winner year in and year out. And that's exactly what David Stearns was brought here to do. And I knew that Steve Cohen, who believes in David Stearns, was going to give David that opportunity to fulfill the entirety of his contract and do exactly what he was hired to do. And when you look at, you know, the top assets for the Mets right now, these are all people that David Stearns brought in. Including Luke Weaver, who's been unbelievable. Now, Clay Holmes, who just pitched a bullpen session today, I would like to extend him. I don't want to get rid of him. He was truly blossoming into a terrific starting pitcher. He had the freak injury that just, it stinks that that happened, really. Not only for Clay, but for the Mets. I mean, he was a very reliable starter. You know, a sub-2 ERA. He was headed to the All-Star game. He was going to have just, I think, a just awesome season. And it all fell apart off of a freak injury. A line drive off his leg that cost him all this time. But hopefully we see Clay Holmes back on the field soon, and hopefully he's not going anywhere and he's a Met for a very long time. Now, for the sake of conversation, if the Mets end up being sellers in a couple weeks, sure, Luke Weaver would be a guy very much at the top of the list because of how dominant he's been. He could be a closer on another team. You could get, I think, a really nice package back for Luke Weaver. So say what you want about David Stearns, but if he turns Luke Weaver in a half a season with the Mets into something or somebody or bodies that are big-time performers for the Mets in the future, I think that amounts to something as far as a feather in the cap of David Stearns. Same thing with a Peralta and so on and so forth. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jake in Far Rockaway. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
Hey, what's happening?
So I had a question I was wondering.
Of course.
And I thought that you're the perfect guy to answer this because you're very involved with this. I mean, you know these things.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole past season, I've been going to Knicks games. I went to a few of the rounds of the playoffs, mm-hmm. and even last year I went, and the atmosphere is electric. Mm. All the fans, everyone is from younger kids to older guys, they're just screaming. You could feel the desperate. And 53 years, now that the drought, 53 years is over, so next season, is there going to be like the urgency still there? Like, what's going to be like the mindset and like the atmosphere?
You're saying from the from the fans in terms of traveling to these road playoff games or the atmosphere inside MSG?
Yeah, it's all around.
Yeah, all around.
New York City,
yeah, the vibe as far as the diehards, the casuals, the fans in the building, the fans on the road. What is going to be the overall vibe next year for the Knicks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's a great question. I'm glad that you brought it up. Last year was so... I'll answer it. I'll give you the long answer. Last year was special. You can't recreate what that run meant to all of us. 53 years for some, a lifetime for others. That won't be the case next year. It won't be, hey, this team hasn't won in 53 years. Hey, there are people on this planet that were alive the last time they won. They've had to wait 53 years. Hey, there's somebody like me in their 40s that has never seen them win. And what that meant and how special that was. You can't duplicate that. But the Knicks were so bad for so long. And we as Knicks fans had to go through a lot of dark times as far as bad basketball. And I know when I got that taste a month ago, or maybe even a little less now, but you know what I mean, when they won the a couple weeks ago. And that taste of this run and to get that championship. For me, I'll speak for myself, I will be just as excited to go back-to-back. It's not the first, so it's... I would love to make an analogy. It is after hours, but I'll say it this way. When it becomes your first time in life, at least for me, my initial reaction would be, I can't wait for my second time. And then third time. And even if it's your 100th time, you can't wait for your 101th. So you can't wait for the next one. Until you're married, then you're like, ah, you can't think of anybody else either. Then you're like, eh, whatever. Take it or leave it. But certainly when you're single, which I still consider all of us single as sports fans, I think the excitement will be there just like it was this last year. I think the energy will be there just like it was last year. It'll have a different meaning because obviously the 53 years now, that streak is broken. But Knicks fans, and this was one of the reasons why Knicks fans were criticized all these years, because of that delusion, because of that excitement, because of that energy, because of that cockiness that wasn't warranted considering the roster and the success that the team has had. But yeah, I think this idea of defending the crown, I think this idea of the Knicks still being overlooked by national media, I think this idea that Jalen Brunson is still overlooked as a superstar, I think this idea and this hatred for teams like Miami and wherever, if LeBron goes to Cleveland or what Philly's doing with Jaylen Brown, acquiring him in a trade from Boston or Boston just in general, we know how their fans could be. And this idea that these other teams are going to be anointed as, oh, they're going to be the team out of the Eastern Conference. The Knicks are in that rare boat, and I know we haven't had a back-to-back champion in 8 years, but they're in that rare boat where they will be overlooked and under-talked about as reigning champs. And we as Knicks fans are going to be like, no, nuh-uh, not on our watch. We're going to show you, again, maybe you didn't realize it the first time, maybe you took a nap and you didn't see what the Knicks did this year. You're going to disrespect us again? Okay. Well, we're going to go back-to-back. And we're going to go through Miami. And we're going to go through LeBron, wherever he lands. And we're going to go through Indiana. And we're going to go through Boston. I wish we could go through everybody in the playoffs.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
to hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to go through all those teams, and we're going to go back to back. Because I still think this team has a chip on their shoulder. I still think the superstar of the team has a chip on his shoulder. And yeah, I think the fan base even has a chip on their shoulder. And there's still it's a cockiness slash insecurity slash, hey, we belong, but do we really belong? Like, we're still not being talked about in the same breath as some of these other. Well, you know what? The best way to get back there is to, or to get in that conversation, is to win another championship and to go back to back. So to answer your question long-windedly, yes. I think the road playoff games will still be New York invasions. I still think the hypeness outside of Madison Square Garden will be off the charts. I still think the environment inside the building will be off the charts. This is one championship. It's not 10 in a row. So I think the thirst and the taste and the energy and the we're still disrespected. People hate New York. There's a bias against New York. And we're going to show up and show out. Plus, this is a lovable team. That's another big part of this. We as a city, we as Knicks fans love this group. Love them. So we want to show up. We want to show out. And we want to do our part to support them. Because we're not sick of them. We're not tired of them. We don't dislike them. We love them for their work ethic, for being, in many ways, overachievers, for being an island of misfit toys, for embodying the city, for understanding the connection that this city has with this basketball team. I think that we'll want to rally even more. So, yeah, it's not going to be your first, and you always remember your first. But I know when I had my first, I wanted to have my second, I wanted to have my third, I wanted to have my fourth, especially when you fall in love. Yeah, let's have a few more. And that's where I'm at, and I feel good about that statement that the rest of my Knicks brethren will also feel that way. And not for nothing. I mean, there's still clout chasers that are going to be out there going crazy, and that could add, as long as they don't do anything that breaks the law that or makes us look like idiots, it adds to the whole scene and whole vibe that we got going on here. It's not like the celebrities are going to wake up next year and go, I don't think I'm going to the games. Or it's not like Madison Square Garden is not going to be a hot ticket. Or it's not like we as New Yorkers aren't going to be cocky and confident and loud, especially when you love the team. And I know my mindset going into the season is, I almost want this one more because I want to shut everybody up again. Because I know what the conversation's going to be. And it's probably already started. Although the national media is probably on vacation now because the basketball's over. And they're certainly not going to talk baseball. Although they do have soccer to talk about. But it'll be, is this the year that Wemby gets there? Is Philly going to get there? Let me just talk about Philly right now. First of all, Jaylen Brown, he's another one. He's always got the Knicks in his mouth. He's got a lot to say. And what does it tell you about Jaylen Brown's game at this point and what the Celtics think of him? That they basically said, you know what, Philly, a Eastern Conference rival, you could have him. I think that's certainly a knock on Jaylen Brown and also tells you the complete and utter shambles that Boston is in. But everybody now wants to crown Philly. I even had a talk, our dear friend of the program, Kerry in Sayreville, off the Sports Ledge on Wednesday. I'm getting ready to go on vacation, and I got Kerry, who the last time I heard from her, she's posing with the Larry O'Brien trophy at Madison Square Garden. We just won a championship, and now she's texting me, please, Positive Tommy, tell me how the Sixers aren't winning a championship next year. Well, one, they're gutless. Two, they have no depth. None. Zero. So they could add whatever star player they want. They have no depth. None. And if you don't have any depth, I don't care who your star players are, you're not winning anything. I almost said a bad word there. You're not winning squadouche. And what, a team with Joel Embiid? He's a mummy on the court. Philly is going to be a massive disappointment next year. Massive. So I'm not sweating them. I give Miami a better shot than they do, than I do Philly. And I don't like what Miami, you want to get Giannis, but traded a lot for him. And Giannis, at this stage of his career, he's not the magic elixir. He wasn't doing it for Milwaukee, basically all by himself. They brought in Miles Turner, Milwaukee did. What did that do? So, okay, Miami has Bam Adebayo, okay? I think the Knicks proved this. Certainly, OKC, I mean, Indiana, you need depth. You could have all the star power you want, but if you don't have the others, if you don't have the role players, if you don't have the bench, unless it's an extremely unique situation with what the Warriors had all those years, but even then, Andre Iguodala would win the finals MVP. You still need those role players, and Philly doesn't have them. So great. The Celtics, I think, got worse, and Philly, I don't think, got any better. Just like Miami got better with Giannis, but Boston got worse by not getting Giannis, and Miami didn't get good enough to pass the Knicks. I don't want to hear about Detroit, and I don't want to hear about Orlando or any of these other teams, but we're just sticking, like I said, we're with Philly right now. The things that plague them and the reason why the Knicks completely boat raced them in the playoffs. And by the way, this Knicks team would have boat raced Boston with Jaylen Brown. They boat race Philly without Jaylen Brown. They'll boat race Philly with Jaylen Brown. Because I don't think that Philly team has a spine, and I don't think they have the depth. Boy, am I pumped up for basketball next year. Every time I start talking about it, I get like fired up. I get jacked up. And that's really to the last caller's point. I'm so amped up and so hyped for the defense of the crown. I think that's just as big a responsibility. I'm not, hey, we won. Hey, we had our championship. I had my parade. I had my moments. It was positive time. He's, you know, shining moment as a sports talk radio host. Got to be on the air as soon as the Knicks clinched and hosted at the parade, all these things. And listen, professionally and also personally, it was the greatest weeks of my life as far as what I do here for a living. But now that it's set in stone, they're champions. We are at the top of the mountain here as far as the basketball mountain. Now I really want to go to work and defend this crown and go back to back. And really shut everybody up. That's going to pump up Philly and pump up Miami and pump up Boston and pump up Detroit again. Or even, and listen, callers, whatever, but they're going to pump up Orlando. And please. The one team we could have a conversation about, and I haven't mentioned them yet, and on purpose I haven't, and that is the Pacers of Indiana. But I got a special spot reserved for them next year. A real special one. Real nice. This is all about, you know, we're in the restaurant capital of the world here. I got a special table reserved for them. Because the only thing missing from this run this past year was not being able to knock off Indiana. Because Indiana can go in the next year saying, oh, okay, you won your championship, but you didn't have to go through us. And now you do. And they're right. We didn't. But now we will. Now we will. Because I already laid out my roadmap and I didn't have Philly on there, but guess what? I'm going to have to put them on there now. Philly's got to be there. Got to see Philly. Let's go first round. And let's do a sweep, gentlemen's sweep. I'll take your pick. I'm open to both. 4 or 5. Get them out of there. Maybe I want them later, though. I'm trying to think out loud here. Nah, let's do it right out of the gate. Let's get Philly out of the gate. Because it's, the Knicks might not even get out of the first round. They got the vaunted Sixers. What are those home games going to look like in Philly next year? In the playoffs? Think they're going to be more Knicks fans than Philly fans there? It's going to sound like Madison Square Garden again. Yeah, like I said, happy to be off, happy to disconnect. But when I saw that Jaylen Brown news, I almost drove into work and said, Gordon, you're off for the night. I'm going to take over from here. Because some of the stuff I started hearing, including text messages that I was getting, worried about Philly. After rendering them a non-sports town, after the pathetic performance that they had against us last year, their fans basically waving the white flag, not showing up. You're telling me that Jaylen Brown, with a team with no depth, are going to all of a sudden walk in and take away the Knicks crown? Not from where I'm sitting. Not from my vantage point. I don't see that. Don't see it. It's going to be a very fun. Now, we have a lot to go before basketball, but it's going to be a fun year. And the excitement, to our last caller's point, it will be there. You can certainly hear it in my voice. It's 1:20 in the morning. I got basically 6 hours of sleep over the weekend in a combined 4 days. I'm happy that I have a voice, although that's always dicey when I do a bro trip. The voice may not come back with me. But now in my current profession, it sort of has to. Now I don't change the way I get after it, but I just sort of cross my fingers, cross my toes that the voice will be there, and it is. But you can hear the passion in my voice here at 1 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not going into next year with any less of that when it comes to the Knicks. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to join the conversation. Before we do our hydration break here, before we get to where we need to have, it's like the World Cup. We have a little bit of a, we don't go to commercial, we have a hydration break. It is managerial malpractice to start Anthony Volpe at shortstop over Jose Caballero on any day. It shouldn't be a debate. It shouldn't be a decision made by any manager. It is managerial malpractice by Aaron Boone. Anthony Volpe ain't it. In a lot of ways, it ends up being what feels like sports nepotism. You know, Anthony Volpe is the golden boy. He gets all these opportunities, even when he doesn't earn it. Jose Caballero is the better option. He's a gamer. He gives you power. He gives you speed. He gives you the defense. And he's just the, I would say, superior option to Anthony Volpe. And the Yankees, from time to time, in a given year, will do this. They will try to swim upstream. Their entire fan base knows the deal. Hey, you should be going left, but the Yankees are like, nah, we're just going to go right. We're just going to go right. Because we're just going to go right. Even though left is the way to go. Jose Caballero is the way to go, not Volpe. And Caballero proved that tonight. With big home runs in a massive, arguably the biggest win of the year for the Yankees. Caballero was front and center, not Anthony Volpe. Caballero needs to be the starting shortstop day in and day out. Anything other than that is managerial malpractice. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Nisai in Montclair, New Jersey joins us. What's up, Nisai?
Hey, how's it going? I wanted to get back to your statement on the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
I'm a big fan of the Boston Celtics, always have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you're kind of writing them off because at the end of the day, they do have a great player in Jason Tatum.
Yes, they do.
They have arguably a great player in Paul George, even though, you know, he's on and off. Mm-hmm. He can get injured.
Paul George, though, is another guy like James Harden, though. Wherever he goes, he torpedoes the franchise.
Right, and they just lose
almost with his presence being there. He's a sports loser, kind of like James Harden is. Now, look, Pritchard and some of these other role players that you got are dangerous.
Yeah,
absolutely. But the same thing, though. I think your front court, even with the addition of Mitchell Robinson, is not good. And whether you think Jaylen Brown maybe has, I don't know, lost a step, I can't understand trading him to the Sixers. But you know what? You did trade away your finals MVP, so it's hard to think you're going to be better. And Tatum is still coming off a major injury. This is where you talk. Okay. Early round knockout. I'm usually with these Celtic fans, it takes a couple rounds. I Mike Tyson them. Your team stinks. How about that? I just don't think Boston's good. The only thing I could justify it was Giannis would be going to Boston. But this idea that Boston in the sports books was favored to get to the finals over the Knicks is just, maybe I'm missing something. Perhaps when I turned on this entire playoff run and in the finals, maybe it was the Celtics that won the championship and not the Knicks. Maybe I missed something. But yeah, whether it's Derek White or Pritchard or Hauser, yeah, these are championship guys, winners, no doubt. I have been critical of Tatum through the years, but he did win a championship, so I will give him that. Here's what I do know. If it was Knicks-Boston last year, the Knicks would have ran the Celtics out of the building. And you think I'm underselling the Celtics? They lost a game 7 in their building to the mummy corpse of Joel Embiid and the gutless, heartless Sixers. So what does that tell you about Boston? What does that tell you where they're at? And you're going to tell me that the Celtics got better in the offseason? They traded away one of their best players. And Paul George, much like James Harden, with all due respect, is a sports loser. Great player, sports loser. And the great fans in Boston are going to find that one out real quick. Just like every other team he's been on have found out. And I love Mitch. Wish he was still here. He's not going to be the difference maker for Boston like a Giannis would have been. He's much needed considering their front court and how embarrassing and bad it is, but he is not a difference maker from that from a team like that that needs him to be one. And like I said before, Andre Drummond, defensively, you know, turn your head, look the other way when he's on defense, but he can rebound with the best of them. He can knock down a three-point shot. And as long as he kind of gets with the program and can be good with the locker room and the chemistry and all that, I'm down for it. And as far as other players here, we'll find out what's going on with Clarkson. I'd like to bring in another big that plays defense. And I like DeRozan a lot. Klay Thompson, if you can get me a scorer for the vet minimum, if Clarkson doesn't come back, then I'm down for that. Whether it's DeRozan, Klay Thompson, somebody of that sort of pedigree. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is After Hours. It is Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night. First show in a while. Great to be back. So if you want to talk about, look, we're going to get into the Mets in the final segment here, but phone call-wise, anything that occurred tonight as far as Yankees are concerned, the World Cup, we are eliminated, no longer in contention to win it or to even get to the semis, as that would have been on the table facing Spain on Friday. So if you want to talk soccer, you want to talk Yankees, Knicks, we'll get into the Mets here in the final segment as well. It's 888-808-1019. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie in the Late Night here on The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
132 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer, Lugie, final segment of After Hours here on The Fan. Al Cintron comes your way at 2 a.m., good to be back after a vacation. Hopefully everybody had a very happy, safe, healthy, most importantly, fun 4th of July weekend. And whenever it's on a Saturday, that's always a big one. And this was a big one too, as it was a major anniversary of our great country. So hopefully everybody had a wonderful weekend. And I will say this from now till the end of that I can say these sort of things. And that is, you have one night to shoot the fireworks, and it's 4th of July. If you have extras that you didn't get to shoot and fire, then you wait for next year. There should not be fireworks, unless there's a holiday I'm unaware of, there should not be fireworks going off on July 6th or 7th or 8th. You have one night. Just like when the ball drops on New Year's Eve. You have one night to have the ball drop. If we drop the ball, not literally, but to drop the ball at midnight at Times Square, if we did that the next night, wouldn't it lose a little bit of the luster that was there from New Year's Eve? So I feel the same way with 4th of July. And it's whenever it's shot, or the fires are shot off the next night or night or two, it's never at like 9 o'clock. It's always like 1 in the morning. It's like, why? Okay, well, to do it at 1 in the morning. And I keep late hours, so you're not keeping me up. But you're keeping other people up. And I'm sure pet owners would agree with me. They got their dogs going nuts. So yeah, one night to shoot the fireworks off. July 4th. Once it becomes July 5th or certainly July 6th, it's over. 4th of July is come and gone. We'll see you next year. And I love me some fireworks. Big fireworks fan. Always try, even if I'm out and about or partying or whatever the case may be, I still try to find a way to see the fireworks for the night. I think they're a huge part of the celebration, and they're always fun. But one night, not two nights, not three nights, not a week, one night. And that is the night of 4th of July. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We'll get back to your calls, but first, this Fan Focus is presented by Chef IQ. Watch the game, not the grill. Get your gear at chefiq.com. All the goodwill that we had, that Team USA Men's Soccer had in this World Cup, all the positive momentum that we had, it was all lost in this, I would call it, embarrassing performance against Belgium. I mean, first of all, you have Matt Fries have his Young Wei Koo moment where instead of kicking the ball, he kicks the ground. And that'll be a lasting image of this soccer team losing in this World Cup. Just a brain fart, a blunder, a moment that you just can't have on this stage. When you are trying to take that next step, that next leap as far as soccer in these type of tournaments, in the World Cup, you can't have that happen. That's one of those things that happen where you feel like other countries are laughing at you, which no one wants to be laughed at, and certainly us, that's for sure. Christian Pulisic did not have a strong performance. Defensively, which was always going to be a problem, you thought it would rear its ugly head at some point, and unfortunately it was tonight. The defense of this team, the goalkeeping of this team, it just led to a poor performance and an embarrassing one. Because that date with Spain on Friday night would have been something. Would have been really something to rally behind. And you're playing with house money. You're playing against one of the favorites to win the World Cup. And I think getting to the quarterfinals, that would have been, to me, reaching the goal of what this World Cup should have been all about for us. You win your group, great. You win a knockout round of 32, great. But then you get to the Sweet 16, and Belgium rested a couple of their guys. And still, it was, you know, they took Team USA to school. They took us to school. And just as far as the performance, you know, it's great that they won all these matches and they got to where they got to, but I think it's lost a little bit now because of the embarrassing performance they had, including Matt Fries. So it was a very disappointing end to the World Cup for us, for Team USA. 888-808-1019. That is the phone number to call. Now, for the sake of conversation, and this conversation, if the Mets were to be sellers in a couple of weeks, because the trade deadline is August 3rd, which is a shade under a month, there are certainly names at the top of the list that makes sense to trade. You know, Luke Weaver makes a ton of sense. I think Freddy Peralta makes a ton of sense. One name, though, that Brooks Raley, AJ Minter, make a ton of sense. One name to me that doesn't make any sense is Francisco Lindor. And I understand that what Steve Cohen said with Joel Sherman and John Heyman, sort of reopening a wound or bringing this back into the atmosphere and the conversation about the relationship or perhaps lack thereof between Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor. It has now created that sort of narrative again. But if I'm David Stearns, if I'm Steve Cohen, if I'm the Mets, I am not trading Francisco Lindor. And let's go with the idea, just for the sake of the conversation, for this conversation, let's go with the idea that Lindor and Juan Soto, let's even take it a step further than what it might be. They don't get along. They don't get along. I think hiring the right manager, a la what the Giants have done with Harbaugh, so for me, it's Cora. Bringing in that type of personality, that type of leadership from your manager, that type of guy that's dealt with superstars, that's dealt with big markets, that's dealt with those expectations, that played in the league, I think that a, a guy like Alex Cora, a manager like Alex Cora, could walk in here, again, for the sake of the conversation that Soto and Lindor don't like each other or don't get along, or Juan Soto's not going to the Met Gala, a fashion show with Francisco Lindor, and Francisco Lindor in his free time like Juan Soto doesn't go to a batting cage. I think a manager like Alex Cora can walk in here and get those guys on the same page, because we're talking about the two best players on the team. And rather than turning this into high school, whose team is it? Whose team is it? I'm not trading Francisco Lindor. I'm hiring Alex Cora. I'm bringing in somebody that will run this team with an iron fist. I'm absolutely doing that. And that's why, much like the Giants did with John Harbaugh, I'm treating Alex Cora like that, where I am pulling out all the stops to hire him, to get him to sign on the dotted line. And one of the ways that you sell the Mets to Alex Cora is the roster, much like Harbaugh, I think, was sold on Dart and other members of this roster. And the roster is not better with Francisco Lindor playing somewhere else. Now, we could sit here and do fantasy trades. Oh, well, what if you got this guy and that guy? And let's live in reality. And the reality is Francisco Lindor is a great player. Francisco Lindor, if he doesn't hurt his back, and I guess if the national media didn't have this love affair with Ohtani, Francisco Lindor was the MVP a couple years ago. He had so many big moments. Unfortunately, he's been hurt most of this year. But let's not forget what Francisco Lindor did that season. Let's not forget the talent that Francisco Lindor is. And if there is something going on, it can be fixed. I don't think it's beyond the point of repair. But I'm not going to trade him. I'm not on that wavelength. I'm not on that mentality. I would not do it. For the sake of this conversation, if the Mets become sellers, there are names that make sense to trade. And if at that point the Mets have gone in that direction, then okay, great. Try to get as much as you can for Weaver and Raley and Minter. And even, and this is a different type of conversation, but even if it's a Francisco Alvarez, different conversation, but you know how I feel about Vientos, but Beatty and Mauricio and names like that. Bichette and Clay Holmes are tricky because of opt-outs. Peralta makes a lot of sense. Lindor makes none, other than creating a narrative that, oh, these guys don't like each other. And Okay. The Mets are a better baseball team with Francisco Lindor on it. And I don't care about the high school stuff. I care about the winning. Because the Mets haven't won a championship since before I was in high school, or better yet, before I was even born. Well, technically I was born, but I was a year old. If I'm the Mets, I'm not trading Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor is too good of a player, too important to this team. And let's not forget the moments that Francisco Lindor had in 24. Let's not forget if Francisco Lindor doesn't injure his back late in the year, he would have had a very strong argument for National League MVP. Francisco Lindor had so many big home runs that year. Francisco Lindor, in many people's eyes, was the next captain for the Mets. And for the sake of this conversation, if Soto and Lindor don't get along, then hire a manager like Alex Cora that will fix it. hire the right manager, much like the Giants have hired the right head coach to fix things. Not to just say, hey, let's get rid of Francisco Lindor. The Mets are a better baseball team with Francisco Lindor on it. I am not trading him. I'm not. And for the sake of this conversation, if there's an issue, then bring somebody in here as a manager that can fix it. But I am not, if I'm David Stearns, if I'm Steve Cohen, if I'm the Mets, I am not, not trading Francisco Lindor. I understand the injury this year, but this is a guy that plays throughout his career every single day, has been robbed on several occasions of all-star appearances, had an MVP-type year in 24. One of the great shortstops of his generation. Has shown the leadership qualities that you're looking for. To me, the present and future of the Mets is a better one with Francisco Lindor on this team. So if it was up to me, I wouldn't trade him. And my hope is that the Mets feel the exact same way as I do. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It is after hours. A couple more minutes here before we hand it off to Al Cintron on the Fan. Obviously, the Yankees are also involved in the, you know, the trade deadline that's coming up in about a month. For me with the Yankees, it's two major bats in the infield. Catcher, third base, that's where I would look to trade, get acquire players at those positions. Hunter Goodman should be the number one target and priority for the Yankees. He's a young player. I think he's under control for another year or so. He's going to hit over 30 home runs for the second straight year from the catcher position. I would also grab a third baseman. Ryan McMahon is not the answer. He is a backup or a bench player, defensive replacement at best at this stage of his career. I would also add a few relievers to build the bridge to Bednar. Then you get Judge back. You get Stanton back. And all of a sudden, the team that I think is going to the World Series in the American League will truly take shape. Nick is calling from Phoenix here on After Hours. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, just first time calling.
Appreciate it.
And I was seeing, what do you think about the Yankees picking up, you know, like Mason Miller or Tatis from San Diego? Because they've kind of been losing a lot of games. I mean, maybe Tatis can play some infield, and you get your closer role with...
I love it. I do. Yeah, with Mason Miller. Yeah, I actually love that. Those are two names. So Tatis is a name that I pitched to the Yankees in the offseason. That video went nuts. Because I think the Padre fan was all hot and bothered by it. I love Fernando Tatis Jr. I think he'd be a rock star in New York. I think he'd be a massive, massive addition for the Yankees. I like him in a lot of different ways for this team. Number one, because at some point Aaron Judge and already hurt this year, and I said this too before the season started, everybody was jumping all over me. Aaron Judge's future with the Yankees is not in right field. It's not. And that future could be a lot closer to the present than it is. I see him more as a DH, perhaps even going to first base. Fernando Tatis Jr. is an outstanding defensive outfielder. He wasn't great at shortstop, but outstanding defensively. So Tatis could be your future right fielder. He could certainly fill the void at shortstop. I love Tatis. I think he's the type of electric player that you would want to bring in here. Now, Mason Miller is a no-brainer. I mean, if the Padres want to trade him, you do everything you can to get him. He's as good as any closer in the league. Now, the Padres are still a couple games under 500. We'll see if they end up being sellers. We'll see if they end up staying put. There was certainly a lot of news out there that, or speculation, reports, news, whatever you want to call it, that the Padres were open for business this past offseason. And I think a lot of that has to do with ownership as far as, you know, they spent a lot of money, they went for it, and kudos to them. And obviously they're a team that is still trying to get over the hump and win a championship, but you can't fault them for trying, and they did. Perhaps it's not going to end up working, and they could be sellers here. And if they are, and I'm the Yankees, and those two players become available, yeah, I'd be all over it. Freddie's in Manhattan. What's up, Freddie?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Hey,
you're the best, brother. I hope you have a nice Halloween.
Yeah, weekend. I appreciate that. It's likewise.
There you go. Everybody, you know, it's like 250 for for the United States.
Yeah, huge one. Big milestone, also on a Saturday. So.
Yeah. But I'm calling because, you see, I feel you misunderstood, with all due respect, that Lindor is always, President Lindor is always injured.
No, he's not. He's never injured, actually.
Well, I know, but most of the time he's overrated in the sense that...
Well, no, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Your first point was inaccurate, so let's not jump to the second point. He's never injured outside of this year. You know, he played 160, 152, 160, 161 for the Mets.
Yeah, but he always makes so many mistakes. I mean, a lot of errors.
Okay, the first thing you said, no. This year has been a lost year in that sense, where there have been mistakes, he has been hurt. But we're talking about his career as a baseball player, and specifically his career with the Mets. Neither one of the things you just said are accurate when you consider his entire career with this team.
True, but what has he really done? Has he helped the Mets win a World Series?
He got them to the NLCS, and he was a vital reason they got here. He should have won the MVP if he had stayed healthy, although they would have given it to Ohtani, but he was the true MVP, and he got big hit after big hit after big hit.
Yeah, but you can't compare, for example, with all due respect to Derek Jeter. He helped the team with his...
Who was comparing him to Derek Jeter?
Huh?
Who was?
No, I'm saying...
You are. You brought up Derek Jeter. I didn't.
No, I'm saying Derek Jeter was a much better shortstop.
What baseball team do you root for?
What was that?
Which baseball team do you root for?
Oh, no, I'm saying that...
Freddie, when you sit home at night and you turn on the television, which baseball team do you watch, Mets or Yankees?
I watch either one of them. I'm able to, because I like them both.
One do you root for? Don't give me you like them both. Which team do you root for?
Mets. Yeah.
Okay, so you're a Mets fan. So I don't understand why you have to bring up Derek Jeter. What does he have to do with anything? Derek Jeter was on great dynastic teams. I don't want to piss off the Yankee fan tonight, but let's just put it this way. Derek Jeter played for Pittsburgh. How would he won all those championships?
Well, so I don't know, but all I know
but is Francisco Lindor has been everything you're saying he's not, he has been. He has been healthy.
He's been clutch. Most of the times, I never see him doing it.
What are you talking about? In 24, he had more big moments that year than some people have in a lifetime.
But that's just that year. But before and afterwards, when have you ever seen him win a game that really meant a lot so they could get to the playoffs?
I gave you all the moments already in 2024. Do I have to go through them again?
Well, I understand, but before and after, he hasn't done anything.
When he's had the opportunity and the team has been in a position to do it, he's done it. So I gave you the MVP stuff in 24. I've talked a million times about that moment that I was in the building for at Citi Field against Philly. The big home run against Toronto when they were getting no hit. The big home run at the very end of the year against Atlanta. This year, injuries and things of that nature, all the stuff you brought up, injuries, mistakes, this year, yeah. But his career as a baseball player, and more specifically the one we care about, his career with the Mets, those statements would be inaccurate. And they're not a better baseball team without him. They're not. You're taking away 31-90. Great defense, plays every day, has leadership qualities that were so apparent that many, including myself, wanted to make him captain. You go from MVP, future captain 2 years ago, to now we got to trade him because there's a notion or an idea that him and Juan Soto don't go out for tea after the game. We can't even bring up the Juan Soto wife doesn't get along with Lindor's wife because Juan Soto's not married, as far as I know. If he is, it's not public. I'm always happy to talk about the baseball team and all those things. When we start getting with the drama stuff, it's just like, I'll go watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey. I'll go watch Vanderpump Rules if I want to talk about that stuff. Baseball-wise, the Mets are better with Francisco Lindor. And I, for one, would not trade him. And I'm certainly hopeful that the Mets are in the same camp as I am. That'll do it for me. My thanks to Fleegs. My thanks to Nick Papagiorgio. Al Cintron comes your way next. I will have you once again for After Hours later on this evening after the Yankee game. So it's an early start time, 6:40. So figure right around 10, 10:30. So enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow night right here on After Hours.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.